Good morning.
Good morning.
Whoops. So today we're going to be looking on the bright side, and I want to draw your attention to what it looks like outside. Looks like we've got our San Diego June gloom, but I want to let you know that above that gloom, the sun is still there. It is still bright. It is still a beautiful day. So, good morning, good morning. There is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence that flows through all creation. And I call this God, the Living Spirit Almighty, one absolute, indestructible, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And it is this truth that anchors us in these teachings, in this knowing, as we are here on a Sunday morning, wherever we are. There is only one. God is all there is. I am one with God. Everyone is one with God. I know and I accept the good for myself and for everyone. And I release these words back into that universal one mind that knew everything before I even thought of it. It is the truth already known in spirit, and I speak it now, and so it is. So we're looking on the bright side, and there are some things I'd like you to keep in mind as we go through this lesson this morning. The first thing is, when we look on the bright side, we see our good. We see our good. The second thing is that light dispels shadows. The shadows of doubt, of fear, of the unknown. Where light exists, shadows cannot. And the third is that sunlight is a disinfectant, and it can take anything negative and simply purge it through the power of the light. Benjamin Franklin was one of our founding fathers here in this nation, and he said, "Do not anticipate trouble or worry about what may never happen. Live in sunlight." There are many times that we have talked about people borrowing trouble, looking for what's the worst case, what's the worst that could happen, when instead we should be looking at the bright, the good. What is the best that can happen? Because whatever I think it is, it's better. It is better. There's a song, and I've forgotten the singer, and I've forgotten the title, but it's a guy. It's a guy. And he sings this song, and in it he says, "The future's so bright, I gotta wear shades." And if you'll see the icon on your program insert today, it's the sun brilliant with a pair of sunglasses on it. When Jesus returned to the earth after his crucifixion, and he was walking around, he was absolutely radiant. He was so bright that some people could not even look upon him. In the Garden of Gethsemane, before he was crucified, he went to pray, and he asked his apostles to sit there and stay awake while he prayed. He wanted people holding the high watch. And so they sat there, and he went and prayed. And when he came back, he admonished them, because he said, "Look, all this is going on, and you can't even stay awake." But he was so radiant that not only were they shocked into waking up, but they couldn't rest their eyes on him because he was so pure, so in the light, so being the light. He was the bright side. they're sleeping, not wanting to face what was coming, was the unbright side. They didn't have the light. They needed to shine their light into their own awareness at that time. And if you think about it, Christianity's future was so bright that they needed their shades. They needed to shield their eyes. Because after Jesus was crucified and after he walked the earth, following that, people spread the word. And what they were spreading was his message of light. Because, you know, Jesus was Jewish. And he was teaching something that was not very pleasing to the Jewish leaders, because he was saying, you know, all those rules, all that stuff. Well, I'm coming. I'm telling you, it's a lot simpler than that. The kingdom of heaven is within. You don't have to fight. You don't have to follow 50 million tiny, tiny rules to make it to heaven. You don't need to beg forgiveness of an absentee divine ruler. Kingdom is within. It is already within. The light is within. The truth is within. That was what Jesus was telling us. He was the great example. All the things that he was doing, we could do too. All we had to do was open up our awareness, open up our eyes, pay attention to see the divine in all. And when he said, love your neighbor as yourself, that had a deeper meaning too, because your neighbor is yourself. We are divine spiritual beings. We are made of that stuff that God is, that all the universe is. So is our neighbor. So is our neighbor. Now, back in my day, neighbors, the moms were pretty much housewives and lived in a cul-de-sac with Catholic families. There were three Catholic families on that cul-de-sac, six kids each. So, you know, it was our area. That was our cul-de-sac. So it was nothing at all for one of the moms to say, run over to the cook's and borrow an egg. I don't have enough eggs here. And so one of their kids would come over and say, my mom needs an egg. And they'd get an egg. Or my mom needs half a cup of oil. Or my mom needs whatever. Have you got milk? My mom needs more milk to finish this recipe. We were all one. So it wasn't like a commune, but it was like a sharing of all the things in life, a sharing of fun times, of games, of playing in the cul-de-sac and knowing that no cars were going to hit us, because only the cars for our families went down there. So we had the cars all parked in their driveways, because everybody had double driveways that were long, so you could park four cars in them if you needed to. Like I said, back in my day. My driveway today, I live in an older house. It, from the garage door to where the street comes, my car just barely fits. One car just barely fits. So when John and I got new cars several years ago, we decided that we would pull up the side yard and then back in, so that we were actually parallel to the street and perpendicular to the driveway, so that we wouldn't get a ticket for our tail end sticking out over the street. The bright side, we had a big enough area by our garage to do that. The bright side. Light dispels shadows. Shadows of doubt, of fear, of the unknown. Ernest Holmes has something important to say about that, and it's in the Science of Mind textbook. Ernest Holmes is the founder of the New Thought and the author of the Science of Mind textbook. It's on page 345. He said, "It is interesting that light should come with an expansion of consciousness. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. We all, in varying degrees, enter into this sense, into this illumination. All people have sensed that truth is light. If a spiritual treatment could be seen, and a spiritual treatment merely means the unifying with good, it would be seen as a pathway of light. This light is not created. It is not a psychological explosion. It is something which pre-exists. It is useless to try to visualize it or to make it appear. It is not a trick of concentration. The kingdom of heaven cometh not by observation." So the kingdom doesn't come by observing it. It's already inside of us. The light of truth is already inside of us. There is a story in the Bible about a woman who lived in a little tiny house, and she had, I think she had one coin, and she dropped it. And so she lit a candle or her oil lamp, and she's looking all over for it. She can't find it. But everywhere she looks, the light is there. The light is there. Eventually she finds it. She finds it because the light revealed what she was seeking. There's so many more layers to these stories in the Bible than the obvious. Well, of course, she's got to turn on the light to find the coin. Well, in a dirt floor, probably mud hut, and one little tiny light, that's like losing your contact and trying to find your contact without your contacts. Earlier in the week, I got a text from a friend who had received tickets from a friend who couldn't attend the Paul McCartney concert. So she invited me to go with her, and we went. And I want to tell you something about, a couple things about the concert last night. One of the things that we know about Paul McCartney is that he has in a song that he wrote the line, "And in the end, the love you take is equal to the love you make." That is a quote that's on a lot of his merchandise. The love you take is equal to the love you make. So this concert with all this amazing music was also this gigantic center of love unfolding. Everybody was happy, smiling, singing along. Great. So Paul decided that he was going to tell this joke. Now, my friend had been to his concert in Liverpool in December, so she already gave me a heads up about what this joke was going to be, because this show goes on and on and on and on. So he's standing up there, and he's just finished one of his older songs. And he says, "You know, when we sing the old Beatles songs, the entire stadium lights up with all these phones and people recording and everything. Because when I sing my new songs, it's like a black hole. There's nothing." And he goes, "So, I understand, but we're going to sing our new songs anyway." For the first time ever, the next song he sang was one of his new songs. It's an awesome song. But the entire stadium, the entire ballpark, you could see everybody with their lights. It was brighter than it had been for any one of the songs. All of these people, it was like a candlelight vigil. And when it was done, he just stood there for a minute, and he said to us, You got me. You got me. Thank you, San Diego. He was appreciating that we were honoring him with the light that shows that all of the people there saw the gift that he was giving us, and we wanted to give back. So we gave him those lights, thousands and thousands and thousands of lights all over the ballpark. It touched him. It touched us. And I would say that the applause after he said that went on forever. It was an example of the light dispelling the shadows, dispelling the doubt, the fear, the unknown. Certainly he knows his new album is amazing. Certainly he does. However, he's a creator, he's an artist, and artists and creative people have critics. They have critics because not everybody appreciates what new has been created. Now think about people you know. You've known them a while, you're familiar with how they are, how they react to different things, their habits. You're familiar with that. And then one day they change. And it's like, well, I'm not sure I'm comfortable with this change. Because when somebody in your orbit, in your sphere, changes, that requires that you change as well. Because we now have to relate differently with the new light that is shining in our friend or family member's eyes. I think the simplest example of that is if you have children, when your children go to kindergarten or they go to preschool for the first time. They're no longer just all over your feet and you, mommy and daddy, are the center of the universe. They're coming home talking about Tommy and Susie and Timmy and all these other little kids. And you're going, where's my hug? But they're so excited that you don't always get your hug. So we have to learn to accept as all around us and as we continue to evolve, continue to be greater vessels of light, that we let go of those shadows and doubts around ourselves, let go of our fear of the unknown, and simply radiate that light that we are. Because make no mistake, we are the light divine, each and every one of us. Ernest Holmes also has something else to say, and this is on page 246 and 247 in the Science of Mind textbook. Now remember, we talked about that singer that I can't remember who he was. The future's so bright, I gotta wear shades. He's famous. I just, you know, brain fade. Ernest Holmes says, spirit knows no past and is not affected by the belief in any. The past is swallowed up in the victory of a perfect present, which is filled with love and protection. Equally, we must not have fear for the future. I see that the future is bright with promise. It beckons me forward into a more complete realization of my own worth and my rightful place in the universe. My rightful place in the universe. He goes on to say, all my tomorrows will be happy and filled with harmonious occupations. I look to the future with great and pleasurable anticipation, knowing it will expand my opportunity for radiant self-expression. I love my past and my future, and understand that they are but continuations of the one unbroken chain of life. There is no future to be afraid of, and no past to bring discord into the present. Marcus Aurelius, ancient philosopher and Roman emperor, says, "Dwell on the beauty of life, watch the stars, and see yourself running with them." Dwell on the beauty of life. And life is beautiful absolutely everywhere, because the quality of life, one of the qualities of life is beauty. The only time we don't see beauty is when we are looking through shades, because it's too beautiful for us to accept. Ernest on page 247 says, "We are poised in a sense of peace, which comes from our complete faith in God as the light, power, and inspiration of our life." The light, power, and inspiration of our life. And he's so right. He is so right. And he said, of course, we said, we're looking for a complete realization of my rightful place in the universe. So what is our rightful place in the universe? Well, he says something about that too. It's on page 36. "There is spirit, or this invisible cause, and nothing out of which all things are to be made." Now, spirit plus nothing leaves spirit only. Hence, there is one original cause and nothing out of which we are made. In other words, we are made from this thing. That is why we are called the Son of God. We are called the Son of God because we are the fruit born of spirit. We are the offspring of the creation. So, "Know ye not that ye are gods?" There's a story that I'd like to share with you. Well, there's a French writer named Colette, and she once said, "What a wonderful life I've lived. I only wish I had realized it sooner." Because so many times we look at our life and we go, "Well, I didn't get this done. I didn't get that done. I didn't go to the college of my choice. You know, I had to move to a place that was not my ideal place. I had to move next to a river instead of next to the sea." Duh. What a wonderful life I've lived. I only wish I'd realized it sooner. Well, once we do realize it, guess what? We can remember it and revel in it every single day. That's what we can do. We often undervalue our intimate relationships in the same way. You think of a husband and wife. And the husband says, "I'm going to work hard, and someday we are going to be rich." And the wife says, "We are already rich, dear, for we have each other. Someday, maybe we'll have money." It's the relationships that have the true richness of our lives. When there's a fire in a house, and there are loved ones in the house, and $1 million in gold, where do we go? We go to the loved ones. We go to help protect and save those who are important to our lives. Things can be replaced. People are a part of who we are. As Paul says, the love you take is equal to the love you make. I want to share something called The Good News. It's by Thich Nhat Hanh. in something he wrote called Call Me By My True Names. Somebody asked me recently, what the heck is wrong with our world? This is happening. That's happening. People are dying. People are getting sick. People are poor. They're hungry. They're starving. And I explained to the person, that's what you read in the paper and see on the news, because it's the exception. There's not enough time on the news broadcasts or space in the newspapers or even bandwidth on the internet to tell every wonderful thing that happened to every single person every day. My goodness, look at you. You're right here. I'm delivering a message. This should be headline news. They should have the transcript of the talk. But that's just us. You know how many centers and churches and places of worship there are? There's not enough room to give all the good news. But we don't have to focus on the dark side, the shaded side, the things that stir up angst and emotion in us. And so that's where we want to place our attention. So here is the good news. The good news they do not print. The good news we do print. We have a special edition every moment, and we need you to read it. The good news is that you are alive, that the linden tree is still there, standing firm in the harsh winter. The good news is that you have wonderful eyes to touch the blue sky. The good news is that your child is there before you and your arms are available. Hugging is possible. They only print what is wrong. Look at each of our special editions. We always offer the things that are not wrong. We want you to benefit from them and help protect them. The dandelion is there by the sidewalk, smiling its wondrous smile, singing the song of eternity. Listen, you have ears that can hear it. Bow your head, listen to it. Leave behind the world of sorrow and preoccupation and get free. The latest good news is that you can do it. You can do it. You can look on the bright side. You can be the light, because that's what you are already. On Friday, it was the summer solstice, and so it was the longest day on Friday. That's when we have the longest day in the summer, and in the winter we have the longest night. And what the solstice means is a standing still. What actually happens is the sun appears to stand still in the sky. It's a pause to allow its light to radiate. And after that pause, it continues to move. It does that in the winter solstice, and it does that in the summer solstice. It's the only time we know of that the sun stands still. It's pretty amazing metaphysically. And I'm sure there are scientists that sit around going, well, it doesn't actually stand still. It just appears to stand still. But twice a year, longest day and longest night, we have this miracle that has been recognized for millennia. This is how people kept calendars, so that they would know the different seasons. The sun stands still. And in that, we get an opportunity to see the bright side, the sunny side, that it's a bright, sunshiny day. Even though it looks a little overcast, honest to God, sun is still up there. It's like when people feel a little doubt, a little weakness in their faith, and you say, well, God is always with you. And that is not always accepted well when somebody is not in a happy place. But we can remind them with the example of the sun. Did you know that in the middle of the night, the sun is still there? We just can't see it. But you know what we can see? The stars. Sun being reflected off those stars. The moon. The reason we see the moon is because we see the reflected sunlight on the moon. Always look on the bright side. The sun's always there. The light is always there. The divine is always there because it's who we are. It is who we are. I have other things that I intended to say, and it's like, well, you know, they don't look like they're all that important right now. But I will tell you. So think about, what can we see in the middle of the night when the sun is not right overhead, but we just see the reflection of the moon, reflection of the light on the moon. If we want to go out and we want to go on a journey, it's not necessary for us to see every step of the journey before we even start. We need a little faith. We need a little faith. We need to know that as we take each step, the foundation is laid for us, because it is the journey that we've been called to take. And everything is already available in any journey that we are taking, because it's true in the universe, it's complete in the universe before we catch the thought. So think about a journey from San Diego to New York. We can't sit in San Diego and say, well, New York doesn't exist because I can't see New York. I can't even go to New York at night because there's not light. If it was there, I wouldn't see it. What we need to know about this journey is, consider we're in a car that has headlights. We don't need those headlights to see all the way to New York. We need those headlights to see where we're going the next little bit of the road. And it's those headlights that allow us to see far enough ahead to be safe, to see if there is any danger, to see if we need a detour, to see if we're tired, if there's a hotel coming up. And we look on the bright side, because we see what there is ahead of us that next needs our attention. We also can look to golf courses as a way of looking on the bright side. When you play golf, you start at the, brain fade again, you don't start at the tee, you end at the tee. But when you first stand there and you put your tee down, no, you end at the hole. You do start at the tee, thank you. You put your tee down, you prepare yourself to hit, you hit the ball with the intention of staying in the fairway. And so when you are mindful of how you're hitting the ball, when you have been practicing, when you have been paying attention, when you've been doing your spiritual practice, when all of these things come into play, you have a much better chance of staying on the fairway. But there can be rough on the outside of the fairway. They call it rough. It's usually trees or bushes or things like that. And the reason they call it rough is because it's rougher to get out of than staying on the well-groomed fairway. However, even if we are in the rough, we can still see the fairway and we can still have hope that we can get that ball back into play on the journey, the path that we want to take. My dad used to play golf. And he would go on Sundays, take his golf clubs, and he would go and play with his friends. There was a walking course not too far from our house. And so they would go and they would play, and he'd be gone what seemed like all day. Because as little kids, you get up early, you have to see your Saturday morning cartoons, or your Sunday morning, whatever. We went to church, but these are the little kid things that you do, and then Daddy's gone golfing, and it's late in the day before Daddy ever comes back, and because we were little, we had early bedtimes, it seemed like he was gone the whole day, hitting a ball with a stick. But the thing about playing golf is there is a communion with nature that is going on. It is a great sense of peace to be outside in nature when your normal day is in an office and surrounded by people. So even if you get in the rough, it's still better than being locked in a box. So we want to look on the bright side of everything. The bright side of life, the bright side of eating, the bright side of walking, our physical, our mental, our emotional, spiritual self is already so bright. We might need shades. So thank you for your time, for your attention, for being here on this bright, sunshiny day. Namaste.